From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. If you haven't noticed, we have a brand new intro, and you guys have been talking about it for quite a while. Yes, we are a three-person hosting team at this point, with Seth Kaiser from The Athletic joining us recently. If you haven't been listening or you're new to the show, check that out on The Athletic. And Seth has changed the dynamic a little bit. Chris is still running our web presence. We're going to have some news about that coming up pretty soon, and I am still doing all the video content at RGR Football. I'm Ryan Tracy, the host of RGR Football, as well as the founder of Rogue Analytics. And your host here, and I finally got in and cut up the new intro so that it should be shorter, tighter, and get us into the show that much faster. It's about half as long, so hope you guys enjoy that. If you would, let me know. Hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter, and let me know how you feel about it, and we'll go from there. Now, we have plenty to talk about today. We're going to talk about Pat Mahomes in the second segment. A lot to talk about with him. And I'm probably going to do a video on it for this weekend as well. We'll get to that in a little while. There's some other things to talk about as well. Want to get through what is coming up. If you got to see Seth at training camp, I'm very happy. I hope you guys got to say hello. And Chris is going to be there this weekend, starting, I think, tomorrow, Saturday, because the team is off on Friday. So we have a little bit of lull there. And then Chris is going to be there this weekend. I'm going to be in St. Joe the following weekend. So please come say hi. I'll be camped out somewhere around the press tent in that vicinity. You know, because I can't actually go in the thing, so I'll be near it anyway. But so please, come on, say hello. I'll have something on that'll have a Jayhawk on it, I guarantee it. So I hope that will work and that we can all spend a little bit of time. And if there's a place to have a beer or a burger or whatever in town, please let me know and hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. And let us both know about that as Chris is going up now. Now, yeah, as I said, Friday, they're off, and this is Friday's show. I should tell you, we have some great stuff coming next week. Matt Derrick will be back with us for his weekly appearance on what's going on at camp, the behind-the-scenes details of what he sees. And we dig kind of deep. If you've heard those shows before, you know that we can get a little bit in the weeds, but it does provide a lot of information. We also have Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus coming next week, so keep an eye out for that. And what we have with this day off is a chance to take a step back and take a look at what's going on. This has been kind of an interesting camp. At first, everyone was so healthy. Showed up. Spencer Ware was back. Everybody looked good. You have guys that had been previously off the shelf, Chris Conley. Just nagging things seemed to have had resolved themselves. And then lo and behold, Reggie Ragland didn't practice. And it's officially time. We talked about it last week where I'm starting to get a bit nervous. They brought in another linebacker. And I don't want to mispronounce his name, so I'm going to let it go for right now. But here's the thing. He's not a guy that has a whole lot of experience. And he's going to be lower down the roster. He's a guy to practice for this squad. I don't see a future in him actually being on this squad come the 53-man breakdown, but the reason that he's here is because Reggie's still not practicing. And unfortunately, the last couple days this week, we've seen Reggie do less and less and less. Hasn't been very visible at camp, hasn't been working outside with the trainers, which throws a question mark up in my mind to see what's actually going on with him. So another thing to keep an eye on, the fact that they brought somebody else in, it's a little bit of a red flag, but the reason they brought him in is because Akeem Aligwe was out as well. And you need to have enough bodies to play with Hitchens so that he can develop a rhythm. Aligwe, luckily, came back to practice, at least on a limited basis from what I saw, on Thursday with another day of rest. Hopefully Saturday he'll be back out there and ready to go. And you want to see a guy that has more experience with the team than say, Neiman, who's a new guy, who is getting a lot of rave reviews in terms of making an impression at this camp. And I thought he might be a guy for the special teams aspect of it, but he may prove me wrong and come through on the defensive side. But all this is going into the fact that you have new linebacker Anthony Hitchens, who is going to have to warp his role a little bit here, more into what we saw from DJ in years past, where he might be the only, if Reggie's prolonged injury continues, He might be the only guy practicing. He might be the force them into more of a shift towards the old school DJ style. One linebacker, a second dime type guy that would be a Sorensen or an O'Daniel kind of guy, and see those type defenses be used more. What we've seen this week is an uptick in the defenses that Bob Sutton is calling and what he's doing with them. We saw a lot more safety blitzes. They're giving Pat Mahomes good looks. Thursday they had ones-on-ones, and I thought that was a pretty competitive period from what I saw. Now, I wasn't out there, but everyone that I saw put up video, as well as folks that I talked to, thought that it was competitive, and I think that's a good thing. Hitchens has to get his feet underneath him, and he has to be able to make that push, that change, to be not a half of the guys that are taking over the middle of that defense. He has to be the guy now. Right now, because Ragland's out. A guy with experience helps him with that as a step forward or waiting it out till Ragland can be back. So we have to hope that that's going to happen. Unfortunately, there were a couple other injuries that I think are a little bit more not dire. We don't know the extent of either the injury to Eric Fisher, the starting left tackle, or Cameron Irving, who was running as the starter at left guard for the last 2 days. Both of them tweaked things on Thursday, and some can be a little bit troublesome. In particular for Fisher, it's a shoulder injury. They have not said which. He had a shoulder issue early in his career, his rookie season, that really, really held him back in his development, both in developing strength in the weight room and the off-season program from year one to year two, as well as what he was able to do long-term. And honestly, I think it set him back at least a full season, if not a little bit more. So if there's some kind of structural damage there that is residual, it's one of those things that can be prone to re-injury. So we have to wait out and see what the extent is and if it's the same injury to the same side, and we'll go from there. Now, Irving supposedly tweaked his knee, which is never a good thing to hear about a lineman, but especially for a guy who's been invaluable. He's played every single position along that starting offensive line here in camp. And he is a guy who is proving to take up that mantle from Zach Fulton and be the guy that can do it all. I said a long time ago, from the day he was traded here, that I thought his best spot was going to be guard, and I think that might be the only place that he has a shot at starting. But if this injury is anything prolonged, then you're back to the fight between Witzman and Anger. And we didn't see Parker Anger come in for him when he got hurt. We saw Witzman come in. So there's another wrinkle, part of this left guard battle that we hadn't seen before. So it's purely Andy Heck trying to rotate his guys and get the right fit. So hopefully they can nail that down and they'll get both those guys back after Saturday or maybe a few other days. But until we know more, we'll leave it at that. So right now, let's take a quick break. We're going to talk about our new sponsor, Vivid Seats, and then we'll be back and talk about Patrick Mahomes. The Hall of Fame game will be quickly upon us, and that means the start of the NFL regular season is right around the corner. And this season, don't wait around watching the Chiefs from home when you can be at Arrowhead in the crowd cheering in person thanks to Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Chiefs listeners 10% off their first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code LOCKEDON. New customers only, and the offer's good through the end of August. And that code, again, is Locked On. Preseason and regular season tickets are available now. And the Chiefs kick off their home schedule. You can be there for all the excitement. Go to VividSeats.com or download the app and enter the promo code Locked On for 10% off your first order. Offseason is over. The NFL is back, and Vivid wants you to get into the game. So I just want to get into this. While this is my last show, Chris will be back next week, folks. This is my last show by myself, so I don't have any interruptions from the other two. But I want to talk about this little bit of drama that I think started with ESPN's Adam Teicher this week and has kind of snowballed, and I think it's ridiculous. And we have to get down to this point. Interceptions in camp happen, people. They happen. They should happen. This is the proper place for a quarterback to throw an interception, especially a young guy. And in fact, I think I'm going to do a video about this weekend because I need to be able to elaborate and explain to you what was said specifically and visually. So look for that probably Saturday evening. So, and by the way, everyone who's been watching RGR football on YouTube, I really, really appreciate it. Had our best week ever this last week, and it's all thanks to you. Thanks for getting the word out. And please, if you have ideas about things you want to see on there, please let me know. But what we saw this week was one comment, one bad day, a string of interceptions that one reporter decided to talk about, and that kind of lit a fuse. And next thing you know, everything I'm hearing back and forth and back and forth, it's not about how he's throwing the ball deep very well. It's not about how he's reading defenses very well. It's shifting things around, making alert throws, making hot reads. It's all about he's throwing interceptions. And it reminds me very much of, I think it was a year ago, we saw the same thing out of Alex Smith. He threw like 5 or 7 interceptions in a day. And next thing you know, the guy who never throws interceptions, everybody's like, oh, what's wrong with Alex Smith? Are we in trouble for this season? And Chiefs fans, we're starting to lose it a little bit. And Alex Smith only had the best season he's ever had in his career. So I don't think there's any precedent to worry about it. And here's the thing. What Coach Reed came out and said is that this is not only the proper time for this, but this is exactly what he wants. This is a time for Pat to test everything. And there are some packages, some plays, some play calls that he's only getting to run once, one time. And we all know for a rookie quarterback, the key is repetition. The key is being able to continually address the line, see the things, make the adjustments, make the calls, and do it repeatedly so that it becomes second nature. And unfortunately, with a playbook, the girth of which we know Andy Reid carries around, he even famously took it with him on vacation and didn't even have that downtime in June or July that you'd normally see for coaches. That volume of playbook is difficult because you don't get that many looks at the same play call. So you have to have a quarterback that's quick on his feet and has got a good head on his shoulders and understands what he's doing. Now, there's key things for a young quarterback versus a veteran. There may have been a little bit of, hey, what's wrong with Alex Smith last season when he had a day like Pat had, I think it was Wednesday. Maybe it was Tuesday. But that's because Alex Smith has seen all these and run all these ad nauseum. The veteran aspect of that is what was probably a little bit more alarming than what we should be going through right now. Because for a young quarterback like that, the goal is to try and see as much of the playbook as you can, to get as much of the conditions about it down so that you can make recognitions and make the adjustments. It's about testing, and that's the word that Coach Reed used twice this week, that it's about testing the quarterback and the conditions, the situations that he gets in. And a lot of practice this week was situational. There was a day red zone. There was a day short yardage situations, I think, was a focus one of the earlier days this week. They're getting pretty specific in what my estimation is earlier in camp than usual. I don't think in years past they've gotten that specific situationally until after the first preseason game, which as of tonight that I'm recording, this is still a week away. So in my mind, I think they're a little bit farther down the line, a little bit ahead of schedule if you're getting into this much red zone work. So the point is that you're a little bit ahead. You're giving him as much as he can bite off and try to chew, and that's the point. And so he hit a point this week where he made some mistakes. He made those throws that came up short. Again, there was a couple of tips, and again, there was a couple of middle space defenders, linebackers, and safeties that got the better of him on some throws. Now, here's the point. You have to have the setup. You have to have the intellectual read and adjust. And then you have to execute. Now, the thing that's getting overblown is that process itself is 3 steps. And the key thing for a young guy like this is completing the early steps, being able to sight adjust to the defense. Have your receivers be able to sight adjust their routes to what they see in the defense. Being able to make adjustments along the line, being able to make those calls clearly to the center and to the rest of the line so that you're all on one page and be able to get the ball off before the clock runs out. Timing, play call, in and out of the huddle, adjusting to the defense. Those are crucial. And that's what we've seen to this point from Patrick Mahomes be very, very good. Now, the last piece is where it gets a little iffy, and that's the execution. Young quarterback has had a really good role to this point in camp. But I told you months ago, and I've been fighting with Chris all offseason, he's going to throw interceptions. It's going to happen. It's going to be twice what Alex Smith does. I think that's a conservative estimate. that he will throw twice as many interceptions in 2018 as Alex Smith threw in 2017. It's likely to be more than that. But that's the expectation. And when you get him in this position now that he is making the adjustments, that he's making the reads, and he's getting people on the right page, then it's about making that decision with the ball in his hand. And he's a gunslinger. We all know that. The interceptions are part of his deal. He's trying to move the ball, and he obviously has a blind spot. We've talked about it with several people. Brett Coleman, if you missed that, go back and listen to that one too. That's a great episode, as well as Matt Derrick. He's got a bit of a blind spot in that middle section where the linebackers drop and the robber-type safety role is going to be in there. And that's something that he's got to watch. So he had a bad day, had some breakdowns in execution, not in the preparation, in the adjustments, in the things that he has to do to be a successful quarterback come game day. This is basically, you know, what is this, practice 13 of training camp. He's got time. He's got four preseason games he'll participate in. Well, at least three anyway. That will take the rest of that rust off, and that is enough to take that rust off. The more important, the heavier workload is getting to the point where you can snap the ball correctly with everything adjusted. His execution will continue to improve. He will have lapses. We talked about that with Matt Waldman as well. You know, he's going to have some of those plays that are just head scratchers. But by and large, there is nothing to be alarmed with here. He's making good work and good use of his time. He's been told by his staff and his head coach, I want you to push it. I'm not worried about this stuff. And that allows him the freedom, I think, especially for a gunslinger type, to really let loose and let that kind of stuff fly. And that's what we have to continue to see from him in order for his development to continue. So at this point, I just want to say, everybody, don't get too hyped up about it. You know, some news outlets, media outlets are going to use it to get clicks and whatever else. Everybody take a breath. Everything's going to be fine. So that said, let's take another quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about what we can expect coming next week. The final development we need to touch base on is the safety group, as much as it spurns me. Andy Reid had some things to say about Daniel Sorensen that has clearly, in my mind, made it a long shot that you see any departure of Dan Sorensen. As much as I talked about it all offseason, as much as I don't like him playing in the back, although we did have a pick, I will give him credit. Had a pick in practice that looked pretty good. Couldn't see the whole frame, but I will give him credit for a nice play. I still don't like him back there. End of story. I'm not going to go any farther into it. But Andy Reid is very happy with his versatility. There's that word. Usually we're talking about the offensive line. Now we're talking about the safeties. Called him out in being able to play in the box roles, out in space roles, still in special teams. So clearly, I don't think there's any plan to move on from Dan Sorensen. Now, that said, I think what we've seen, and I have it on good authority from a guy named Seth Kaiser, you all might know, that Armani Watts looks fine physically from the ankle issue that he had right as camp opened, and that he looks like he is playing well with Eric Berry, running with the ones, getting reps, coming up and not playing as frenetic as we saw in college, but playing with some discipline. Making hits. I mean, he's a physical guy. That's part of his game. It's really about whether he takes chances or not. And I think what we've seen to this point, and from everything that Seth has told me, that we are seeing him take a serious look at being a guy that can be trusted to be the last line of defense. And I think that's a great thing. I want to see him win this job for the Chiefs' sake. I'd like to see Eric Murray get some improvement back there. I'm still pulling for him, but it doesn't look like he's coming along as quickly as we'd like. Still going to be a role player, but I think Watts is your outside chance to actually have a legit shot at a secondary that can play as versatily as possible without giving itself a weakness. And I think that's just still what Sorensen brings. So those two developments at the safety level, I think, are important. So with that, I will leave you. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Check out RGR Football for a Saturday evening release. I'll have a video for you. Appreciate all the work there. We'll be back. Chris is back next week. Seth is back next week. We'll start with Matt Derrick. We'll have Eric Iger from I'm sorry, Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. And I hope you guys enjoy camp this weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.